Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
His name is Sean Howard, and he was a superintendent with Glasgow Independent Schools.
Ashland School Board Chair Carol Jackson announcing today's selection of the district's new superintendent, Sean Howard, takes over in July.
Ashland might also have a new police chief in a few days.
And it's still unclear when the lodge and restaurant at Greenbow Lake State Resort Park will reopen.
In sports, this year's NBA Championship Series will be a rematch of the 2015 contest. The series opens Thursday.
But Luke has the stocks.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the lower 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The Ashland Independent School District has a new superintendent, but he's no stranger to the area. Glasgow Independent Schools Chief Sean Howard was selected from among five finalists for the job during a special school board meeting today. Carol Jackson chairs the Ashland School Board.
He is quite familiar with the our school district. He at one time was the principal at Russell High School, and then he became assistant superintendent at Russell Independent Schools, and then he got the job as superintendent at Glasgow.
Jackson says Howard will take over his new duties in Ashland July 1st.
Ashland's new school superintendent is an Elliott County native who has worked in education for nearly three decades. It'll be nice to come home, says Sean Howard, but he says the transition will be bittersweet. He's proud of what was accomplished in Glasgow during his tenure there.
We experienced a lot of success, had one of the top performing high schools in the state. We were able to increase our student enrollment by over 300 students, which is quite a bit. Started all-day preschool, which this district had not previously had in the past, and I'm just proud to have been a part of that. And like I said, I'm really looking forward to moving to Ashland with the family and getting the two kids we have remaining at home enrolled in school there and hit the ground running, so to speak.
Howard is replacing Steve Gilmore, who is stepping down after 8 years as head of Ashland Schools. Gilmore is running for mayor this fall against incumbent Chuck Charles.
Internal candidates to become Ashland's next police chief will be interviewed for the post tomorrow. They'll meet with city commissioners and the mayor to discuss their plans for the APD. Commissioners in April decided not to expand their search regionally or nationally, at least for the time being. Mayor Chuck Charles thinks that was a good move.
Some of the things that I see that is positive for that is it gives hope to all the individuals that maybe that's their goal within a department, not only police department, but everywhere.
Rob Ratliff is retiring as Ashland's top law enforcement official June 17th. He's been the chief for the past 10 years.
The man who will soon vacate his post as Ashland's police chief has been a member of the city's police force since 1982. That's when Rob Ratliff started as a patrolman and rose through the ranks, eventually replacing Tom Kelly in 2006. He says the profession is much different now than it was three decades ago. Ratliff says it's a lot more technological today.
There's been so many changes, going back through the years, in equipment, technology. Folks now don't know what it's like to write a report. We actually had to write reports. So there's just been so much advancement in technology that, and even now it's hard to keep up with all the changes.
Ratliff says officers have gone from those handwritten reports to body cameras that record everything they do. He adds when he became a police officer, the training period was about 10 weeks. Now, says Ratliff, it's more than a year from the time someone is hired before he or she can be assigned to road duty.
A week from today, Fleming County Hospital will have a new chief executive officer on duty, the medical center's parent company. LifePoint Hospitals announced last week that Brian Springate will take over the job. Fleming County Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy is a de facto member of the hospital's board of directors. Foxworthy is looking forward to seeing what Springate can do.
Young guy has a lot of experience, I think. He's coming from a hospital in West Virginia. He's been real in the hospital administration and nursing and different aspects, so he should make us a real good person to head up the hospital here.
Springgate is replacing Michael Clark, who took over as interim CEO at Fleming County Hospital last August after LifePoint purchased the financially troubled facility.
Crews are busy preparing the location where St. Clair Regional Medical Center's new medical services pavilion will be constructed. The $26 million facility will house several departments, including the Moorhead Hospital's oncology outpatient care area. Mark Neff is St. Clair's president and CEO. According to Neff, workers are currently reworking the utilities that are underground at the building's site.
So much of what you'll see over the next couple of months is not going to be real visible, a lot of things going on underground. But then we'll move into the major construction. You'll begin to see some steel work. It's going to be a three-story building. So you'll see the elevator tower come out and then the steel, followed by that moving inside, hopefully, once we get into winter.
Neff expects St. Clair's new medical services pavilion to be ready for opening in December of 2017.
In honor of National Cancer Survivors Day, Moorhead's St. Clair Regional Medical Center is hosting an event to honor local cancer survivors and their families. It's an ice cream social and is happening this Sunday afternoon from 1 to 3 at the Center for Health Education and Research. That's on West 2nd Street. Valerie Campbell is the Director of Marketing and Public Relations.
This event is actually free to everyone. There is no solicitation. We just hope that everyone who's been involved with cancer or within the family, that they'll come out and help us as we celebrate National Cancer Survivor Day.
Campbell adds that cancer patients attending the event will receive free cancer survivor T-shirts.
The author of a book on opioid addiction in Kentucky and elsewhere says political and medical approaches to the problem have begun to change. Sam Quiñones wrote Dreamland, the True Tale of America's Opiate Epidemic. He appeared Sunday on KET's One to One with Bill Goodman. Quiñones says there's a growing acceptance that being tough on crime in and of itself simply won't get the job done.
The Republican Party in particular was imprisoned by the dogma of the tough on crime approach to the drug problem, and that you could not be less tough on crime because someone's going to out tough you or something, you know. And now you're seeing people willing to revise that, reassess that. That's only in the last recently, if you ask me.
Quiñones says there's also more recognition that the use of drugs like Suboxone and methadone can help wean people off of their addiction to opioids. In addition, he says doctors are less likely to prescribe opioids for all types of pain.
With summer's arrival comes an increased risk of the Zika virus in Kentucky. UK healthcare officials say no cases of Zika have originated in the U.S. yet, but that could change during the summer mosquito breeding season. Dr. Derek Forrester says the risk for Zika in Kentucky is low, but precautionary measures should still be taken against mosquito bites, especially when traveling.
To date, all the cases of Zika virus that have been diagnosed in the United States were travel-associated, meaning nobody has been diagnosed in the United States that acquired Zika virus here locally. Florida, Texas, and southern parts of the U.S. are going to be the highest-risk areas. There are also areas that we often travel to in the summer, and people throughout the state travel to in the summer.
The biggest concern about Zika is its effect on children whose mothers contract the virus during pregnancy, leading to a condition known as microcephaly. Forrester says the best protection against Zika includes long-sleeve shirts and long pants, making sure screens are secure on doors and windows, and eliminating mosquito breeding spots where water becomes stagnant.
With Governor Matt Bevin looking to make changes to Medicaid delivery in Kentucky, one group is looking to make sure it remains affordable and effective for its clientele. The Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky recently summoned a broad cross-section of over 120 stakeholders to Louisville to share ideas about the future of Medicaid. Their ideas are now being made public. According to the Foundation's president, Susan Zepeda, one of the main themes heard was support for integrating health services.
It would be more effective, cost-effective, to deliver primary care services on the same site, in the same location, in a coordinated manner with oral health services and with behavioral health services.
Kentucky is still in the process of seeking the approval of the federal government to test and evaluate new ways to provide Medicaid, and all of the ideas seen so far have been shared with the team drafting the waiver request.
Kentucky's Parks Commissioner says he's still looking at options for reopening the restaurant and lodge at Greenbow Lake State Resort Park. Donnie Holland tells CN2's Pure Politics he's trying to find a cost-effective way to make that happen. Holland says deferred repairs in the state's parks have been a problem throughout the system, and that's one of the reasons there was trouble at Greenbow.
Greenbow actually caught fire last October. It was a roof leak. Again, it went back to deferred maintenance issues. During the process of fixing it, we found that we had issues. We had the goal was to open it Memorial Weekend, but when we opened up the interior, we found that the trusses in the main roof were defective.
Holland says he's glad there's $18 million in Kentucky's next budget to address deferred maintenance issues. Greenbow's restaurant and lodge have been shuttered since the fire in October 2015.
Modern homes are more susceptible to burning rapidly and releasing hazardous chemicals as they do. That's according to an Ashland fire official who says it's because of the materials in them. Greg Ray is a deputy chief for the city. He says the contents of today's houses are more flammable and fires often spread quickly.
The makeup, the furniture and stuff that are in houses now contains a lot of the glues, and the fires are burning more toxic faster. Used to, an old couch made of wood and some material would sit and smolder for a while, but now they're going up in a matter of seconds and burning and putting off all these chemicals that they use to make them with.
Ray says that's why it's critical firefighters arrive at the scene within 4 minutes. He says an entire room can catch fire in half that time.
Eastern Kentucky University is closing its satellite campus in Somerset. Media outlets report EKU announced that the 5,000-square-foot office will close June 30th due to state budget cuts. Like Kentucky's other public universities, Eastern Kentucky faces a 4.5% reduction in state support for each of the next two fiscal years. A news release says EKU also has an estimated $8 million in additional costs for mandated retirement contributions and other needs.
Carter County officials have investigated the possible misuse of road equipment. MSPR's Michael Gustin has that story.
After some questioning, magistrates Nick Barker and Brandon Burton found that there was no wrongdoing by county road foreman Jeff Kaiser, who had reportedly used some of the department's equipment to do a job at Carter Cave State Resort Park. The work was excavating gravel on Tigers Creek April 6th and removing manure from horse stalls on May 5th. Carter Judge Executive Mike Malone says there had been some public complaints about the situation. Malone notes the court was unaware of the work, but would have approved it since the work brings tourism dollars to the area. The court, however, did decide to have any county equipment that's used for outside work in the future first receive its approval. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
Kentucky Fairness Campaign Director Chris Hartman says he's disappointed that Governor Bevin has decided to join a lawsuit challenging the Obama administration's guidelines for accommodating transgender students. Hartman claims the Republicans' action amounts to political grandstanding.
We would expect Governor Bevin to spend his time and our state's resources on pursuits that actually matter, not political stunts and fodder for elections.
Kentucky last week became the 12th state to join the lawsuit, pushing back against the director from the U.S. Departments of Education and Justice.
Seven of Kentucky's 11 delegates to the Libertarian Party convention in Florida last weekend gave their support to former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, who won the party's nomination for president. Johnson had over 55% of the total vote. Dave Capano heads the party in Kentucky. The independence man also chaired the state delegation.
In Kentucky, we have an unbridled spirit and more barrels of bourbon than people. Yeah. We have our priorities straight.
Capano is a professional photographer and vice president of sales for Cakes by Capano.
And finally this afternoon, Ashland Parks Director Sean Murray says Dawson Park is about to be a very busy place. He says up to 400 people daily are likely to visit the park between now and Labor Day because that's the site of the city's swimming pool. By the way, says Murray, that facility was deemed to be in excellent condition during a recent health department inspection.
The pool itself scored a 96 out of a 100, another fantastic score. And, you know, we talk to our health inspectors and say, hey, how do we get better? And they say, you're right where you need to be. You know, our incremental improvements may be like a trip hazard or something that we can immediately correct, but the pool facility itself and the amenities it provides are very safe.
Murray says it costs $2 each day for children to use the pool and $3 for adults. He says season passes for a family of four are available for $55.
Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, expect lows around 65 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be warm and sunny, highs in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows around 68. Thursday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of rain, highs around 82. That night, it'll be mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms again, with lows in the mid-60s. And on Friday, at the end of the week, it'll be mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs around 78 degrees. It's currently sitting at 88 degrees in Ashland right now. It's 88 as well in Flemingsburg, 87 in Inez, 84 in Lexington, 89 in Winchester, and it's 87 degrees here in Moorhead.
4:47 on our feature segment, first responders and emergency units from a 17-county region gathered in Lexington last week to showcase their equipment and response plans should a disaster strike. Josh James attended a mock transport of a suspected Ebola patient and filed this report.
The TAC air hangar at Bluegrass Airport resembles a triage center with tents, emergency vehicles, and gas masks, but this is all for show, specifically the Region 15 Healthcare Coalition Showcase. 23 hospitals, 5 EMS agencies, and many others are here to air out their equipment and make connections in the event they're called on to work together at a moment's notice. The Lexington Fire Department takes the audience step by step through the painstaking process of suiting up and transporting a patient infected with Ebola. Needless to say, hypochondriacs need not apply.
A term often used in the pre-hospital setting is the golden hour. We want to get anybody with any type of emergency to a hospital within an hour.
Two demonstrators shed their hazmat suits, sweat coating their foreheads. Major Chad Traylor tells me the drills are repeated until it's second nature and his crew can take the heat, literally.
You can generally add about 15 to 20 degrees with just being in that suit.
While tornadoes and ice storms are the biggest threats in Kentucky, the officials here say complacency is a luxury they can't afford. And it's meetings like this one that help frontline workers collaborate in the event the real thing hits. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
It is 4:48. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Sean has sports, and he's up right now.
Came out to play. Good evening. This is MSPR Sports Report. I'm Sean Delaney. A rematch of the 2015 NBA Finals is set to begin Thursday. After the Golden State Warriors became just the 10th team in NBA history to rally from a 3-1 series deficit Monday night, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers are headed to Oakland for Game 1 of the 2016 NBA Finals. Steph Curry led the Warriors with 36 points in their 96-88 win over the Thunder last night. He says he's glad his team is headed back to the finals.
Kind of just taking in the moment and enjoying it with my teammates. I haven't really thought much about Cleveland. Know what the challenge is going to be. You know, they've been playing well.
The Cavaliers reached the finals in only 16 games, averaging 24.5 points per game this postseason. This will be LeBron James' sixth straight finals appearance. Thursday's matchup is slated for 9 o'clock Eastern. Semifinal action is on tap tonight at the 16th Regional Baseball Tournament in Flemingsburg. In the 5:30 contest, Rowan County meets top-ranked Greenup County. Rowan coach Keith Prater will send ace Cameron Plank to the mound in an effort to derail the 37-1 Musketeers.
It'll be a challenge for us, and Cam on the mound's always a positive thing. So we'll see where it's at and see what happens for us.
In the late game, West Carter takes on Ashland Blazer. West coach Timothy Johnson's Comets have scored an average of 8 runs a game this season.
We've really come on lately, and one through nine are hitting the ball really well right now, and there's no automatic outs in the lineup.
Tonight's winners battle for the region's title tomorrow at 6 p.m. In the girls' 16th region fast pitch softball semis this evening in Owingsville, it will be Rowan County against Russell at 6, followed by Ashland Blazer against East Carter. Rowan coach Larry Sloan says every step in the postseason is a bonus for his 23-13 Lady Vikings, who have just 3 seniors on their roster.
You know, we're real young, and this is a great experience for them to get an opportunity to develop, learn, get some experience, and build, regardless of win or lose, is to build for the future.
The 16th region's title game is set for tomorrow night at 7. The Cincinnati Reds will be back in Denver tonight at 8:40, looking to make it 2 in a row for over the Colorado Rockies. The Reds hit 5 homers yesterday in posting an 11-8 win at Coors Field. Despite winning 2 of their last 3 games, Cincinnati's record is still only 17-34 this season. First baseman Joey Votto says he and his teammates are working hard to get things back on track.
It's been ugly and it's been frustrating and it's been the toughest year of my career so far from a win-loss standpoint. And that's something that keeps me up at night, and I think that's something that really angers and frustrates the team collectively.
0-2 John Moscott will pitch tonight for the Reds, while 2-2 John Gray goes for Colorado. The University of Louisville baseball team is hosting its 4th straight NCAA regional. The number two national seed Cards will host Ohio State, Wright State, and Western Michigan. Cards coach Dan McDonald says he's happy for the team's accomplishments.
To be selected by the NCAA, that's 14 weeks. That's weather challenges, that's injuries, that's slumps. There's so many curveballs, obstacles that come at you. And for, again, our kids to come out having one of the better resumes in the country, as a coach, I just told them how proud I was.
The Cards' first game will be on Friday night at 6 against Western Michigan at Jim Patterson Stadium. The Moorhead State football team has announced the signings of 13 offensive players. 8 of the new Eagles are from Kentucky, including quarterback Clay Bolin of Bourbon County, tight end Dalton Frazier of Prestonsburg, and running back Jalen Williams of Letcher County. Coach Rob Tenier says many of these freshmen will be on the campus this summer, taking classes to get a, quote, jump start on their academics.
And also having time to train for football and be around Coach Rhodes and the strength and conditioning department. And then because they're enrolled in class, we'll get 2 hours a week to work with them, watching film and video and preparing them for preseason camp.
Running down MSU's recruiting class, the Eagles added 3 offensive linemen, 3 wide receivers, 2 tight ends, 2 slot backs, 2 running backs, and 1 quarterback. Baylor University has named former Wake Forest bench boss Jim Grobe as the Bears' acting head football coach. Grobe replaced Art Briles, who was fired last week after a school commission report accused him of mishandling allegations of sexual assault and violence by members of the team. The 64-year-old Grobe hasn't coached since 2013. And finally tonight, suspended Miami Dolphins defensive end Deion Jordan plans to apply for reinstatement to the NFL tomorrow. Jordan, who was the league's 3rd overall draft pick in 2013, had to sit out last season for another violation of its substance abuse policy, and the Tennessee Titans have signed linebacker Kevin Dodd of Clemson to a contract. The 6'5", 277-pound Dodd was Tennessee's 2nd pick overall. Dodd had 12 sacks and 26.5 tackles for a loss last season at Clemson. For MSU's MSU's Sports Report, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from Morehead State Athletics, online at msueagles.com. The annual MSU Athletics golf outing will be held on Saturday, June 4th at Eagle Trace Golf Course. 18 holes of golf, use of the driving range, prizes, continental breakfast, lunch, and refreshments provided. Sponsorships, reservations, and more information from MSU Athletics at 783-9052 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed mixed, and of course, this being the last trading day of May, as investors eyed economic reports for indicators on the timing of the next Fed rate hike. And the Dow Industrials did finish out the month with a loss of 86.09 at 17,787.13. The S&P 500 was down 2.11 at 2,096.95. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 14.55 at 4,948.05. The major averages all ended well off of session lows. And the Nasdaq Composite actually had a monthly gain of 3.6% as Amazon.com hit a fresh all-time high, and the Nasdaq has now posted three straight months of gains. Crude oil was actually down 23 cents, or about a half percent today, at $49.10 after being up earlier. But crude oil still has now posted a four-month winning streak, and this is the first such winning streak since 2011. The U.S. dollar index was more than a third of a percent higher, with many market participants now anticipating that there is a really good chance the Fed will raise interest rates either at this month's meeting or the meeting in July. In other economic news, personal spending increased 1% in April, the biggest gain in more than 6 years. Personal income rose about 0.4%. Overseas in Europe, stocks closed more than 0.5% lower, with bank stocks underperforming in particular. The German DAX gained 2.2% for the month of May, and this is its first three-month winning streak since March 2015. And in Asia, stocks closed higher, with the Nikkei 225 up nearly 1%. The Shanghai Composite outperformed with a 3.3% jump, following news Goldman Sachs increased to 70% the probability that MSCI will include mainland Chinese A shares in its global indexes. And the decision itself is expected to come June 14th. The NASDAQ, as mentioned, gaining for the month and also for the day. And in today's trading, the iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF gained 4.4%, and this is its best month since October 2015. Among Dow stocks, the best performer was Microsoft with a gain of 1.3%. Caterpillar was up almost 1%. On the losing side, DuPont and Boeing were both down about 2.5%. And among S&P 500 stocks, Southwestern Energy was up 4.7%. Seagate Technology was up 4.2%, and on the losing side, Constellation Brands finished with a loss of 3% in today's trading. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down 40 cents at $113.39. CSX was up 54 cents at $26.43. AEP up 41 cents at $64.72. AK Steel up 18 cents at $4.28. Marathon Petroleum down 29 cents at $34.82. And Kroger was up 6 cents to finish at $35.77. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Turning once again to a look at the weather forecast. Tonight, partly cloudy skies and lows around 65 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be warm and sunny, highs in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows around 68. On Thursday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of rain. We'll see highs around 82. That night, mostly cloudy, another 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms with lows in the mid-60s. And on Friday, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of rain, with highs around 78 degrees. It's currently sitting at 88 degrees in Ashland and Flemingsburg. It's 87 right now in Inez, 84 in Lexington, 89 in Winchester. And it's 87 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Samantha Morrill, Michael Gustin, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, and Chaz Jenkins. From WUKY, Josh James. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.com. msbr.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSBR news team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.
I'm the only one in the world could raise almost $6 million for the veterans, have uniform